There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. Elongated that one.
You did.
I'm Pete, here's Dave.
Ahoy, hoy.
What's new? What's the goss?
What's the goss, Mr. Pete? Doesn't rhyme at all, does it? What is the goss? That's a great question.
God, can you hear those fucking seagulls again?
Honestly, I think you're lying. I don't think you live in Birmingham. I think you live in...
There is a gang. There is a gang of 4 seagulls.
And do they congregate all the time or just when you're recording the podcast?
Yes, all the time.
Oh, at least it's not sort of victimising the podcast specifically, you know?
They're sort of having a bit of a standoff. So I think there's a bit of like, you know, in West Side Story with the jets and the, the sharks.
The sharks and the seagulls.
I think that's what's happening.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, don't want to, on a weekly basis, reference the loud seagulls, but that felt like a loud one.
Yeah, I could hear it from London, mate. absolutely incredibly loud.
Anyway, from seagulls to this week's request, which actually comes from a seagull.
I don't know why that tickled me so much, but it really did. It's from Tilda from Rugby.
Nice name for a seagull.
Tilda the seagull. Mm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of Tildas, do you?
My niece is called Matilda.
No, Matilda's different, but I'm saying Tilda as a shortening of Matilda.
We call her Tilly.
Yeah, I've got a Tilly and a Tills. Yeah, exactly. And a Matilda. I know 3 Matildas. Oh, I know 3 Matildas. Don't want to brag.
Tilda off of Swinton.
I mean, she is your go-to Tilda, isn't she? Tilda Swinton, yeah. Certainly. To the point where I can't name a single other Tilda, I don't think. If I type Tilda...
Isn't a brand of microwavable rice called Tilda?
Oh, the sort of blue one with the sort of flowery patterns.
Tilda
Rice.
Tilda Rice, yeah.
Absolutely right. And do you know what you shouldn't give rice to?
Seagulls. Yeah.
So I imagine...
Is that true? That's pigeons, isn't it?
Pigeons, birds, I don't know, mate. What am I? Who am I? Steve Irwin? No. What's this kid called? Mr. Little Dennis Irwin.
Dennis Irwin?
what's Steve Irwin's kid called that's now the new Steve Irwin?
Begins with a B. Barack.
Barack.
Bindi.
Irwin. Bindi?
Yes, Bindi Irwin.
Are you shitting me?
No, it is Bindi, isn't it?
The fuck is Bindi? Really?
Bindi.
I mean, this has gone to know.
Irwin. Bindi. Yeah, Bindi.
Oh. No, I'm thinking of the son.
Right.
Who's the son?
Robert.
Robert Irwin.
What the fuck is going on? What is going on?
It's at this point that we welcome new listeners to the podcast and promise them that at some point we do talk about Friends and not just Bindi Irwin.
Please, Bindi Irwin. Read the request immediately. This is nonsense.
So Tilda the Seagull says, "Ahoy, Pete and Dave. Absolutely love the podcast." Oh, Tilda, thank you. I'd like to request the one where Chandler takes a bath. It's one of me and my friend Jamie's favourites, and it's definitely a comfort episode for us. I can't give a list of favourite lines. It'd probably be half the episode. My favourite part's when Monica can't hold a secret from... Hold? I can't keep... My brain just didn't read the right word there. Can't keep a secret from Phoebe. Chandler can't run his own bath. The bath salts, they're starting to eververse. It's different. It's interesting. Rachel and Ross's vetoing names and the friends gathered in the bathroom. However, as much as I love the episode, I want to make it clear that having a bath does not make you a girl. Look forward to you discussing this episode. Oh, Tilda, I have much to say on this. Yes, I mean...
Do you know what? I reckon Dave Cribb likes a bath.
Right, so I have very mixed feelings on baths. Would you like to hear them?
Go on.
Love a bath. Can't fit in many baths.
Fair.
As a tall gentleman, it's hard. Your standard domestic bath is too small for me.
Okay.
I think we've discussed this before, you know. I can either have legs in or chest in, but not both. So
yeah, we have talked about this before, yeah. Because I feel like, why can't you just, like, fold your legs up?
In what way?
Like, bring your knees up.
I can do that, but then my knees are out.
Right.
I can't be submerged in a relaxing way like Chandler. You look at Chandler in that bath, he is fully under and stretched out, right? Only his head's popping up at the top of the, amongst the bubbles.
They are so horny for baths in this episode.
So the interesting thing about this plotline is, if you really dissect it down, the plotline of the bath bit goes as follows. Monica has a bath, likes bath. Monica makes Chandler a bath, he likes the bath. Chandler has a second bath, not a good bath. Chandler has a third bath, a better bath. Monica and Chandler take a bath together.
Mm.
That's it. That's literally cool. It.
Let's move on. Yeah.
And I don't want to undermine the writer's ideas or say they were running out of things by this stage, but I like to think that the world's most prominent sitcom at the time, if someone had said in the writer's room, guys, what about they have a bath?
Mm.
That's this week's episode. They have a bath.
Why haven't you asked me for my views on baths?
Oh, sorry, Pete. Let me just finish my bath run, and then we'll talk about your bath preferences, all right? Anyway, I just think I think they could have done better than two characters having a bath.
Fair.
But that brings me back to Monica and Chandler taking a bath at the end. How long is that bath? That's two full humans in a bath, seemingly relaxed.
Also, I mean, particularly an issue right now, given utility bills are so expensive.
Oh,
that's a lot of baths.
Heat in a bath these days, absolutely out of the question, frankly.
It's either that or don't eat for a month.
Exactly. What are your... Hey, Pete, spontaneous question from me. What are your views on baths?
Well, Dave, I feel like in advance of a bath, I like the idea of a bath. And then I... You draw a bath, don't you?
You do draw a bath.
But then I draw a bath...
Yeah.
And then I get bored really quickly.
Yes, I understand. Right, so you enjoy the bath initially. Yeah. I mean, even and more of a waste like, of right, energy then.
Yeah.
Frankly, you know?
Exactly.
Okay, well, to sum up, that's our views on baths. Hey, what do you think about baths? Get in contact. At FWF Pod. Do you like a bath? Tell us.
But do you have a boy bath, Dave?
So what is a girl bath? Why is a girl bath? Like, obviously that's the only way to have a bath, right? The way they're having a bath. If you're going to have a bath, you might as well have a fucking great bath that smells good, candle. You know, like, it's got to be a relaxing experience. What's a boy bath? Just sort of like water.
Well, bath with a boat in it, apparently.
A boat bath. Yeah. I'm not sure about how necessary the boat is. I just think this was 2002, Pete. This wasn't even like early to mid 90s.
Hmm.
Why is the entire attitude towards baths? Baths are for girls.
Well, Chandler, I also, aside from the stereotyping, Chandler has a portable CD player very near a full bath, which is enough of an issue. But then when they light the incredibly large number of candles, when Monica's getting ready for her bath, she's got an open flame and a hanging towel just above it. That's how falls flames everywhere.
Well, if only there was a large body of water to immediately put the towel into.
What, do you think you could just... Oh, yeah, I suppose. Also, no matter how much the bath salts are fizzing, I don't believe that they're going to do enough to seemingly arouse Chandler.
No, they can't, right? That's not a thing.
Otherwise, I would be having more baths.
Well, quite. I've got bath salts, and they're nice, but they're not.
I do like it when Monica weaponizes them, though.
Yeah, but again, that feels like too quick a reaction, you know?
Yeah, true.
Like a quick effervesce. But also, I don't think the bath salts are powerful enough to replace the touch. I was going to say, the touch of a woman. But you know when Chandler thinks Monica's touching him?
Yeah.
In the bath, and it's the bath salts. That is some pretty powerful salt action to mimic the human touch, you know?
Hmm.
Maybe we should find out what bath salts Chandler uses.
No, I don't think we should go into detail there.
No, honestly, like I say, my bath's not big enough. So anyway, to sum up my bath feelings.
For what?
When I go to a hotel with a giant bath, I'll have baths for days. I fucking love them. They are great.
Hotel bath is quite fancy.
Hotel bath.
There's obviously a nice hotel.
I stayed in a great hotel in Manchester once that had a double bath.
Oh.
So like both lengthways and widthways. So almost like a sort of hot tub vibe, you know, but it was just in the bathroom. And also a TV in the wall of the bathroom. I was there. I was wrinkly as fuck. But at the end of that, I think I watched Friends in the bath, actually. I think that was on E4 at the time.
Is Mazel Tov from Phoebe, is that a joke about Chandler's foreskin or lack of one?
Oh, no, I think just about his size of his penis, right?
Oh.
I don't think it's a sort of Jewish reference towards his foreskin, is it? No, it can't be. I think she's just saying he's got a big dick, because Monica sort of...
Really?
Yeah, Monica looks pleased, you know?
I don't think Chandler has big dick energy.
Well, I find what's interesting about this episode is that Chandler's desperate to have sex on the balcony. Chandler's a big vanilla boy, right? He's not.
Well, it's a very public balcony, isn't it? Famously.
It's overseen by a lot of people, including, let's not forget, Monica's brother.
Yes, that's true.
Like, is that where you want to have sex, Chandler? Really? That feels very out of character for Chandler. I don't think he would enjoy the voyeuristic nature of that sex, do you?
Mm, fair.
And also, despite Monica being very against it, we know she had sex on the balcony with Fun Bobby in the past. So maybe he is just, maybe it's more of a, if she's done it with someone else, I wanted to do it with me type thing, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
But the main thing with this storyline, baths aside, and obviously the bath is a big part of it, what the fuck are they all walking into the bathroom without knocking?
Yeah, they don't care. Constantly. I mean, it's quite nice because it's quite like ludicrous that they're all packed into this tight space while Chandler's awkwardly, especially when Rachel delivers the news about the gender of the baby.
Yeah, what a moment to find out your friend's baby gender reveal, you know?
Yeah. And I do like them all sort of clocking the boat and then being slightly horrified when they realise the boat is being used to hide penis.
Yeah, but also, so weirdly, I know they walk into each other's apartments all a lot, but weird that they just walk into the bathroom unannounced. Even stranger that in turn, they all walk in, look straight at Chandler's dick and in different ways and comment on it, you know?
Yeah.
If you just walked in with someone in the bath.
If you walked in on them on the bath, then you'd have something to say about it.
You'd have some questions, wouldn't you? Yeah. But if you walked in on someone in a bath, you'd avert your eyes, right? That would be a natural reaction. You wouldn't be, well, I better have a pretty quick look and just check what's going on down there, and then we can move on. But yeah, it's a nice visual, like Tilda says, the friends all crammed into the bath. And so it's one of those abiding friends memories as well, isn't it? You know, that's very iconic sort of
the five scene of them out of the bath and Chandler in it.
Five out of a bath, one in a bath.
Yeah.
The famous Enid Blyton book. Shall we move on?
Yeah, we've said bath a lot.
We have said bath a lot. And I think probably at this point we could leave the bath.
Mm.
As in, not get out of it, but I think, have you got any more to say about the bath?
No, I think I'm done.
Bath over. Unplug the plug. Drain the water from the bath. Put a towel on.
Yeah.
Go and get dressed. Do your hair.
And fuck off.
Fuck off.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse?
the federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I didn't do the synopsis, Pete.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to do... Should I do it briefly?
What, me? Yeah, I do the synopsis.
No, I mean I can do my own one.
Oh, if you want. Why?
Well,
why?
If you want to read the synopsis. It's a bit late, Dave.
Why are you stealing my job?
I was just going to make one up on the spot to save us a job.
All right. Well, why you make a production code up on the spot? I bet you can't.
24716.
Nah, 2274 13. Not terrible.
Oh, I wasn't far off, though.
Yeah, not terrible, certainly.
Okay.
Go on, do a plot line. Actually, you try and guess what the plot synopsis says word by word, and I'll tell you if you've got the right word.
Ross?
No.
Oh. Well, no, I'm done then, aren't I?
Are you? Well, you can't think of any other friends.
Rachel?
No.
Chandler?
Yes.
Likes baths. Doesn't like baths and then ends up liking baths.
Dislikes bubble baths, yes. Chandler right. dislikes right. bubble baths.
Monica makes him...
Monica sways him.
Fine. That's the end of the bath bit.
And he soon becomes addicted. That's the end of the bath bit now.
Phoebe.
Phoebe, great.
Don't know. Phoebe doesn't really have a specific role in this episode, does she? Other than be generally a bit of comic relief around.
Yeah, well, she's the misguided subject of Joey's affections.
Right. Are you quoting the synopsis?
I'm not actually. No, they were my own words, Peter.
Yeah, beautiful.
The synopsis says, Phoebe, who thinks Joey has a crush on her, is shocked that he actually likes Rachel. And then Ross and Rachel debate over potential baby names and learn their baby's sex. Where do you want to go first? Second, we've already done one of them. Baby names or Joey and Rachel?
I don't feel like there's much to really say about Joey, so let's do that bit.
Oh, well, you might
there
be
is a reference to Joey being in Macbeth, which I would very much like to have seen that.
Absolutely what I've written down here as well. I think that line is probably my favourite line of the episode. He hasn't had this much trouble getting out words since we saw him in Macbeth. That is so good on so many levels. A, just a funny line, but B, you immediately can picture Joey in Macbeth, can't you? You can immediately picture what that scenario is of Joey struggling.
Should have been an episode, though.
Oh, Joey does Macbeth. This is what we've constantly said about the spin-off Joey. It should have just constantly been him doing bad acting. Because that is... I'd have watched that all day. And maybe it wouldn't have got cancelled then. A lot of cereal in this episode, isn't there?
Joey's got some sort of
cereal rotor. Yeah, it must be product placement. Yeah. Especially the opening bit with the...
Oh, it's like scripted in, isn't it?
The Frosties. Sorry, Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes.
We call them Frosties, guys.
I'm surprised that we are the ones that call them Frosties and not Frosted Flakes.
Why?
Because we're generally considered, you know, a bit fancy or think we are fancy. Whereas America's a bit more fun.
But what I'd say America does do well is just says, let the catchphrase say what you see when they're
very
naming
literal,
things.
Yeah.
And then it's like, they're flakes and they're frosted flakes. Done. We don't need to think any more past that point.
Fine.
But I mean, not only are they very prominent, Joey literally says the slogan of the fucking company. I mean, that is wild, isn't it? And at the end, there's Cocoa Puffs, which I presume are Cocoa Pops.
Mm. Do you reckon they have the monkey?
Yeah, let's find out. Hey, Americans, do you got the monkey on Cocoa Puffs?
Have you got
Puffs?
The Cocoa Pops monkey? Cocoa Pops?
They call them Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah, fine.
By all accounts. But he just has a lot of different cereals and all sort of childlike cereals as well, you know?
What's your favourite cereal, Dave?
Well, I said that. I do enjoy the any cereal that's marketed at children, frankly. I have that with cereal and with crisps. I really prefer ones that are... marketed at kids more.
I reckon you like a Monster
adults.
Munch.
Love a Monster Munch. Absolutely bang on. Pickle Onion Monster Munch, Skips, Quavers, all that sort of stuff. Great.
What are your views on a Pom Bear?
Kettle chips, fuck off. Pom Bears in the right mood, yeah, lovely. Lovely salted snack.
What is the wrong mood for a Pom Bear?
If you want a bit more flavour than just pure salt.
Okay, fair.
You know? because they're not very flavorful in that sense, are they? The reason I like my pickled onion is because it's got like a good tang to it, you know?
They're quite messy crisp, the Monster Munch.
Oh, it's an absolute nightmare, mate. Yeah, you got to have sort
of... Not as messy as the ultimate messy crisp.
The knick-knack?
No, the what's it.
The what's it. Oh, yeah, similar, but like orange powders.
Yeah, dusty.
Dusty as fuck. Favourite cereal? Yeah, I mean, I love a Frosty. I love a Cocoa Puff, Puff, Pop, Pop, Puff, Pop. I don't have cereal very often, do you?
I might have told you this before. I, as a child, developed a liking for having cornflakes, but without milk.
What?
So I'd just have like a bowl of dry cornflakes.
What
sometimes
the fuck?
Sometimes with raisins in.
You're a psychopath.
Yeah, that sort of stuck. I haven't had that for a long time, but yeah, I'd have like a bowl of dry cornflakes with raisins in.
Dry cornflakes with raisins? Are you joking me?
No.
That is worrying, mate. That is honestly worrying behaviour.
I don't know how, in hindsight, I don't know how that started.
Maybe you just didn't have milk?
No, I would have been a child.
Yeah, but your mum might have not had milk, you know? There might have just been no milk in the house, is what I mean.
Sure. There you go. I also used to like fruit and fibre. Which is very much considered a sort of cereal for the elderly.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? That's when you need to keep your fiber. Yeah.
Keep your ticking over.
Yeah, right, exactly. Keep your regular. But surely not dry. You'd have had that with milk, surely.
I probably had it dry.
No, fuck off, mate. That is, your mouth would be so dry.
I think it'd be like eating crackers.
Yeah, or like eating all bran. Surely you've not had all bran dry.
What even is all bran?
Bran, like strips of bran.
What do you mean it's just bran?
Well, the name is the fucking, the clue's in the name, mate. It's all bran, isn't it?
What's bran? What are you on about?
What do you mean, what's bran?
What is it? Is bran a thing?
Of course bran's a thing. What are you talking about?
What do you mean? What? I thought that was just like a... I don't know what bran is.
Well, now you've asked me. I can define bran. Hang on, let me look it up. Bran is the hard layers of cereal grains surrounding the endosperm. Sperm.
What's the endosperm?
I don't know. We're getting deep into cereal.
What is going on?
I can't believe you don't know what bran is. You know, like the brown bran. Bran.
Stop saying bran. Like, stop bran shaming me for not knowing what it is. It's just, I know the term all bran, but I never really thought about what bran was.
You laughed me into a coughing fit there. Crikey Moses. Like, I don't think anyone needs us to discuss bran further than we already have done, and I certainly don't want to be reading this bran Wikipedia page for longer than I have to.
That sounds pretty dry. Drier than my cornflakes.
Drier than bran. Bran is a very dry... All bran is a very dry cereal. That was my entire point, all right?
Right, okay.
Anyway, Joey likes Rachel. We've joined this in sort of midst of the Joey liking Rachel confusion. He's trying to explain it to Chandler... Tries to explain it to Monica. They obviously have a similar conversation. And they piece these things together, don't they? I do enjoy Joey and Chandler's conversation where Joey is so bafflingly confused and gives no information that Chandler comes away knowing almost less than he did going into it. You know?
But I think I agree that that's like the overriding tone of that scene. But when you actually listen to what Joey's saying, when he's like mapping out, oh, you were friends before, he's actually making more sense than I think Chandler gives him credit for.
Yeah, it's much clearer than... Chandler's making out, but Chandler's instinct is to be sarcastic, isn't it?
Yeah, fair. So I think it is quite nice seeing how comfortable Joey is at, like, approaching Chandler with a problem and to talk about feelings, at least until he then gets nervous, but, you know.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, that is
a nice little sign of their friendship, I think.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I do like Chandler's little lines in that sort of, Joey says, know what I mean? And Chandler says, do you?
Yeah.
This conversation is between you and me, if that. And then obviously Monica and Chandler try and piece this together. Then they get weird and medley. Oh, since they get together, they get all weird and medley, don't they?
Yeah, they live vicariously through others.
Butt out of other people's business, Chandler and Monica. Completely misunderstand the situation. Make it loads worse. Monica lasts approximately 25 seconds after promising she wouldn't tell anyone before she tells literally the first person she sees.
Ah, but who is very good at not demanding to know the secret?
Phoebe.
She's like, oh, well, if you can't tell me, you can't tell me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she has a stronger moral code on that than Monica does, who is desperate to gossip, isn't she? But she completely tells Phoebe the entirely wrong thing as well, making the whole thing work. And actually, do you know what I like about this episode, Pete? And this comes off the hot off the back of us doing the one where no one proposes, which was an entire episode made up of people talking at cross purposes. I really like that when Phoebe does confront Joey about it, within seconds, Joey goes, it's Rachel, you know? And yeah. We don't get this whole thing where
that's true, yeah.
They're doing that frenzy fast thing of Phoebe thinking it's her, Joey talking about Rachel, but never actually saying it. At least in this one, we just get what would happen in real life, which is somebody says the thing, and then we can just have a normal conversation about it, you know?
Yeah, knocks it on the head pretty quickly.
Knock it on the bloody head. But this plotline, Pete, and this is the start of obviously probably the most controversial Friends plotline, the Joey and Rachel saga, and we're not here to discuss that in depth right now. There's one part of this plotline that I really take exception to.
Come.
It leaves a little sour taste in my mouth, Pete, and I just cannot get on board with it. Light mayo does not taste the same as regular mayo. I'm sorry.
No.
It absolutely fucking doesn't.
I'm not a huge mayo eater. Like, I do like it, but I wouldn't like, you know, you get some people that like absolutely fucking love mayo.
Yeah.
That was me. With everything. Is that you?
I love mayo.
Do you order an extra mayo when you get Domino's?
No, I have got garlic and herb dip.
Oh, that's yeah, in my head, that's kind of, it's white, isn't it?
White. Well, you know, let's not conflate all white substances.
Don't.
Talking of bran. I get extra dip, yeah, for sure. I never liked mayo as a kid, though. I've matured into mayo as I've got older. But full-fat mayo tastes absolutely delicious, and light mayo is fine, but you can definitely taste the light. Also, here's my controversial mayo opinion, Heinz mayo.
What, better than the... Hellmann's is the classic, isn't it?
Hellmann's is the classic. And I agree Hellmann's has its place if you don't want too overwhelming a flavour, but if you're dipping a chip, honestly, try the Heinz mayo, guys, if you're not.
Right.
Don't knock it till you've tried it. It's absolutely delicious. It's a game changer. And there, I will leave my opinions on mayo, and I will leave my opinions on Joey and Rachel, and we will move on to the next bit. Phoebo is a great name, isn't it, to be fair?
It is. I do like Phoebo. I also like when the doctor says, please don't call your child Phoebo. That's what I do. I also really love the line about Sandrine being a really pretty name for an industrial solvent. Yeah. That's great as well.
I really like this back and forth with the names. I think it's very funny. Like, they'll have clearly spent a long time coming up with the right sort of names that are immediately funny. And I think they hit the spot most of the time.
The ones they mull over, right? Sandrine, Rain.
Yeah.
There's that lovely bit with Phoebe claiming to recognise Rain because of someone whose dress is made out of wheat. That's pretty good. Darwin is another one, I think. They end up naming this baby Emma. And not being a bitch about the name Emma, it's a perfectly standard name. But the point is, it's a very standard name.
They both approach it initially, don't they, without their names. They're different kinds of out their names, but they're both clearly up for a bit of a unusual name.
Yeah.
And yeah, how they landed on Emma.
There's that bit where Rachel says, she's all excited about the baby, and she says, I can't believe it's with you, but still.
Yeah.
About having a baby. It's like, why can't you believe it's with Ross? Like, he's by far the most likely man in your life to father your baby.
Yeah. That's absolutely right, actually. If history has taught her anything, it's that probably it'll be with Ross that she ends up with, you know? I'm intrigued that Ross and Rachel are having this incredibly important conversation about what to name their child, just very casually in front of Phoebe in the coffee shop.
Yeah, like, it's normally a private conversation, isn't it?
I don't know how many parents you know, Pete, but they are weird about their baby names.
Yeah, it's true.
That and the first dance. I don't get it. Why is it such a secret? why is no one want... Everyone's like, what's your first dance? Oh, I can't tell you. Why? It's a fucking dance.
All right, the one that I can understand is, what's your dress like? Because there's a bit of...
Mystery.
But, yeah, you're right.
And the problem is, if you don't know the first dance, often it's underwhelming if you don't know the fucking song, because it's really meaningful to the couple. But it starts, you're like, what is it? I don't know. Why didn't they want to tell me that it was a fucking weird Jackson Brown B-side that no one's ever heard? Because it makes no difference to me whether I know it or not, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, I don't get... Anyway, but Ross and Rachel are bucking the trend of keeping baby names secretive and weird, and I appreciate that. So thank you, Ross and Rachel. What's your favourite name of the all the suggested vetoed ones? I've got mine.
Other than Phoebo.
Phoebo. Oh, yeah, Phoebo's right up there.
I'll probably go for Sandrine.
Sandrine. Sequoia.
Sequoia, yeah.
Would name something Sequoia, frankly. Good name. Strong. I don't know, probably never going to have kids, but...
Did you say something, Sequoia?
Well, yeah, because I was like, I'm not probably going to have kids. Maybe an animal or some sort, yeah. Just maybe like my slippers, I don't know.
Yeah. Don't name your slippers, Dave.
Oh, they've already got a name. Sigmund.
Yeah, that's true. It's like people, I don't like people who have names for their cars. Oh, that's quite controversial.
Oh, you're going to absolutely alienate people.
No. I'll correct myself.
Yeah.
If you want to name your car, it's fine. But when I say that I don't have a name for my car, don't be like, you've got to have a name for your car. No, I haven't.
And also, what I don't necessarily like, and again, don't want to alienate too many people, is don't reference your car by name in a context where it's not clear that it's a car.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got to pick Jason up from the garage. Yeah. Like, oh, it's Jason, my car. No, you can say, I've got to pick my car up from the garage. That's the normal way to do it.
If you are going to name your car something, it has to be some sort of pun based on the type of car it is. I can't think of an example off the top of my head.
No, I can't. Well, it would have been really good if you'd had one, wouldn't it?
Like, I don't know. Oh, no, I don't have one.
Go on, Pete. What were you going to say?
Well, I used to have a friend at school whose car was called Colin.
Do
you know what it was? Do you know what? This is what I'm willing to accept. Alliteration. So Colin was a Clio.
Yeah, that's nice.
That works for me.
Yeah.
If I'm going to accept a car name, that's my level.
Alliterative fun.
Yeah.
Great. Happy days. Real mixer names though, aren't they? The ones that they come up with.
Yeah. I really like the line about Vito sounding really good.
Yeah, Zemira's Vito, you know. Yeah. Here's my question. What the fuck are Mahjong tiles?
I don't know. I've never understood that joke, but also never been motivated enough to look it up.
Yeah, I mean, let's Google it, shall we? Come on, let's not fuck around.
I'm looking. It's a tile-based game developed in 19th century China.
Is that mainstream enough to...
That's quite niche to me.
The audience really goes for it. They have a right old laugh.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of those things like bridge that's just associated with old people in America, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
There you go. You learn something every day, Pete. You learn about Bran. You learn about Mahjong tiles.
I still don't fully understand what Bran is, but let's not go back there.
Well, no, I don't. I think it's important that we move on. So Ross suspects Rachel knows the sex, ends up calling the doctor to find out the sex, which I think is probably bordering on the unethical. If you were the doctor and the couple in the room who decided they didn't want to know, and then one of them rings up and goes, can I know? Is that okay to say it?
Yeah, he must have sort of conned her out of that information.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know where the sort of moral code lies there with the old doctors, you know? It just feels a bit underhand. But we do get this nice sort of full circle moment of Ross accidentally revealing the sex of their baby in the same way that Rachel did with Ben.
Yes, that's true. Oh, yeah, I didn't clock her.
Yeah, that's sort of really like full circle moment. It's almost exactly the same where it's a like, oh, shit, I've done it by mistake, but the other person's really pleased because they found out they're having a girl this time and a boy last time. And, yeah, it's a nice little wholesome moment, isn't it?
Yeah, that is nice.
Should we play a sting and find out if we've got a quiz?
Yeah, I wonder if we have. I'm going to guess that we do have a quiz because I think you've been quite good with your quizzes lately. And when I say lately, I mean last week.
Thanks, Pete. Louisa has sent us a quiz.
Oh.
She says, sorry for the delay. I've been away from home without access to Netflix, so I ended up watching it on DVD.
Oh.
So there are definitely bits on there I don't really remember. So I hope there aren't questions from random extended scenes that you haven't watched.
Okay, well, we'll find out.
Question one. There's only four questions, by the way, and I can't remember why, but I remember Louisa saying it's a bit shorter. So there you go. Just four.
Right, okay, fine.
What scents does Chandler put in the bath which aren't complimentary?
Oh, I don't know.
Eucalyptus is one, boat. I remember that. I can't remember the other one. Boat. Bran. Let me look. Eucalyptus and
he's
chamomile.
Bathing in oats. Okay, chamomile, fine.
Question two. How does Ross describe someone called Rain?
Oh, their dress is made of wheat and something about and her hair.
A dress made of corn and their own kiln.
Yeah. Big sort of Florence and the Machine kind of vibe.
Yes, Rain and the Machine.
Yeah, Rain and the Machine.
Although the only person I know called Rain that springs to mind is Rain Wilson. And yeah. Rain Wilson doesn't have any sort of corny kiln vibes, does he?
No.
What's next? Does Chandler offer Joey for their chat?
Meatloaf.
Yep.
Lasagna?
Pizza. Cold pizza.
Pizza, fuck.
Leftover meatloaf or cold pizza? And finally, what name is on Joey's t-shirt? Not a chance in hell I'm going to get this.
It's the name. Isn't it a firefighter?
Yeah, but do you know?
I can't remember the name.
Captain Billy Burke is the answer.
There you go.
Yeah, he's on a... This is 2002. This was fairly recently after 9/11. So this is still in that sort of phase of a lot of fire department merch and that, you know? Good. Well done. All the best. Goodbye. What's next week? All the best. Thanks.
To series 3, episode 23, The One with Ross's Thing.
The One with Ross's Thing.
What is his thing? Is that the bit where he gets something removed?
The growth.
Oh.
It's a kundis.
Okay, good. Right. Let's all go eat a bowl of bran flakes.
Bran. Let's all eat some bran flakes.
Are you saying brown flakes?
Bran flakes. Although they are brown. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.